Hello and welcome to the first 4TN Freakout. Here on these podcasts, we're going to be talking about a labyrinth of strange and unusual topics, from cryptozoology and monstrous and mythical beings, to ghosts, witchcraft, magic, folklore, UFOs, urban legends, and archaeological mysteries. I'm your host, Jeff Holder, and I'm an author of numerous non-fiction books about the supernatural and the strange, the paranormal and the peculiar, the mysterious and the macabre, and indeed the bizarre and the just plain bonkers. You can find out more about what I write about at www.jeffholder.com. And if you're wondering about the word Fortean, it derives from the American author Charles Fort, who was the first writer to catalogue the world of unexplained and strange phenomena. And Fortiana, as a category or genre, stretches beyond the conventional meaning of words like paranormal or supernatural to include intriguing developments in areas such as science, sociology, medicine, technology, popular culture, and contemporary legends. Today we're going to concentrate on one of my favourite examples of contemporary legend, the vampire with iron teeth, or, as I like to call it, the fearless vampire hunters of old Glasgow town. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of September, 1954. Hundreds of schoolchildren invade the southern necropolis, a large but undistinguished cemetery on Caledonian Road, in the economically deprived area of the Gorbals, in the Scottish metropolis of Glasgow. Adults are unable to control the kids, so the police are called. When questioned, the children state that they are hunting a vampire with iron teeth. This monster has, apparently, already killed and eaten two little boys in the cemetery. That night, many parents throughout the Gorbals find that their children are too excited or too frightened to sleep. The following day, the Thursday, a routine call to the police station from a local journalist accidentally reveals the vampire story, and on Friday, the scoop is published in the now-defunct Glasgow morning paper, The Bulletin. By that evening, the story is all over the Glasgow press. By Saturday, it is creating headlines in the national newspapers, although by now, the folklore has expanded. Some children tell reporters that the monster was not a vampire, but a man with a green mask who had landed from Mars. Yet on the Sunday, the kids are laughing the story off, and one newspaper runs with the immortal headline, "The vampire with iron teeth is dead." Not even tabloid journalists get to write something like that very often. But if the children quickly forgot what had just been another transient playground fad, the story had huge implications in the adult world. It became a key element in a nationwide moral panic that was focusing on the alleged pernicious influence of sensational horror and crime comics imported from America. The general view was that Yankee trash, as it was called, was corrupting our kids, and the Gorbals vampire was an example of just how far that corruption could extend. Comics such as Tales from the Crypt and The Vault of Horror were, people thought, eroding the British way of life. The campaign against horror comics attracted some surprising fellow travellers, including the Communist Party of Great Britain, whose covert agenda was to limit the influence of American culture in the UK. The unlikely alliance of communists, Christian groups and other moral guardians pushed the issue forward, and in 1955 Parliament passed the Children and Young Persons Harmful Publications Act, a piece of legislated censorship that shut down American imports and restricted British comics. The debate on the Act, by the way, included the Gorbals episode, and so is the only time that the Houses of Parliament have discussed the activities of a vampire. However, the entire anti-comics campaign was based on assumptions rather than hard evidence. No one bothered to ask the children at the centre of the incident about their reading habits. Many years later, those who had taken part in the vampire hunt told interviewers that they had never seen an American comic, and some didn't really know what a vampire was. Over the years, other influences have been suggested for causing the ferrous-fanged creature, from films and magazine features to poems and even the Book of Daniel in the Bible, which contains a description of a bizarre beast with iron teeth. And dozens of characters and creatures with iron teeth can be found in literature, folk tales and nursery rhymes, while in the 19th century, a real woman from Glasgow Green was nicknamed an ogre and Jenny with the iron teeth because of her unfortunate metallic dentistry. But to my mind, All this is put in the cart before the horse. The kids and the Goebbels did not need to be influenced by a comic or a film or a poem or the Bible or anything else. All they needed to invent a vampire with iron teeth was just one thing: imagination. All of us have been children, but although as adults we can sometimes reconstruct the emotional realm of childhood, we can remember being sad, for example, or hurt or happy, we often struggle to recall the intellectual or cognitive world of the child we once were. Perhaps young children live in a world of magical realism, where strange and wondrous things can intrude into the ordinary everyday world without causing cognitive dissonance. For example, some adults may reject out of hand an apparently paranormal experience because it is dissonant with the way they think the world works. For children, however, the bizarre event can be seen as normal because they have not yet learned the common sense limits of normality. The Goebbels vampire hunt was not a case of mass hysteria. Instead, groups of children, swept up by an intoxicating and fluid wave of exciting rumours, gathered together and engaged in a communal activity to hunt down the monster. It was enjoyable. Some of the children turned up at the hunt armed with homemade tomahawks, improvised stakes, and other monster hunting weaponry. But they weren't playing at monster hunting, they were monster hunting. The vampire hunt was just one of a number of similar children's hunts that had taken place in and around Glasgow over the years. Targets had ranged from hobgoblins in Cowcaddens in the 1870s to 20th century hunts for banshees, ghosts, maniacs, and even spring-heeled Jack. And such children's hunts are not confined to Glasgow. In July 1964, hundreds of children in Liverpool were engaged in a hunt for leprechauns. It seems that, in some times and some places, children collectively invent threatening, uncanny or non-human figures and then engage in enjoyable, collective adventures to hunt these figures down. In many cases, the hunt is ephemeral and as quickly forgotten as any other playground sport. But in other cases, it escalates to the point where it becomes an ongoing legend. The only difference between these several hunts and the Goebbels vampire hunt is that, through a series of chance events, the vampire hunt actually made it to the media. Had the press not picked it up, it would have been as evanescent as the other hunts. The Goebbels hunt was not a one-off. It has just had a better PR campaign. If you want to find out more about the vampire with iron teeth, the complete story is in my book Paranormal Glasgow, published by the History Press in 2011. Details at www.jeffholder.com. Until the next time then, allez avec les dieux!